Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning, everybody. This is Danny Nesvedarani, your host for the hour for this hour. Speak Up on Tuesday, September 2nd. I hope you all enjoyed your long Labor Day weekend, wherever you were, whatever you did. Before we start off today's episode, I just want to acknowledge that this program and all of our programs here at CJSF are recorded and broadcasted on the unceded and ancestral lands of the Hulkumilam and Squamish-speaking peoples who have been here since time immemorial. Now, for this hour, we've got a good mix of talk, some tunes, you know, as per usual, and we're going to be going into some more local stories, but then going to be branching out and covering some stories that kind of have happened across Canada as of late. Some more hyper-local kind of interest pieces on communities throughout this nation. But before we get into any of that, I thought I would play a track from a band by the name of Sour Dope, local to Vancouver. We actually had them over here at the station not too long ago for a bit of a performance. Stay tuned for that, because that will be uploaded to our YouTubes at some point in the near future. They're really awesome, and this track that I'm about to play for all of you is called Water Temple. So that is Sour Dope with Water Temple, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Hope you enjoy.
Thank you.
Once again, that was Sour Dope with Water Temple. And, you know, it's interesting. Here at CJSF, the radio station here at Simon Fraser University, we have a weekly get-together event that we hold at the station every Thursday from around 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. called Record Club, where, you know, people come by the station and it just kind of becomes a club for people to share and listen and talk about the music they love and why they love it. And every week has a specific theme for what sort of vibe or genre or type of music should be picked. And last week's was underwater music, you know, and that can mean a lot of things, whether, you know, the song sounds like it was recorded underwater, whether it just sort of gives nautical vibes or anything like that. But I do feel like Water Temple by Sour Dope would have fit really, really well under that playlist. Anyways, that is me just pondering, as well as also plugging the fact that we have Record Club every Thursday from 4 to 6. And if you would like to join and talk and share and learn more about music, you should definitely stop by. On to the talk portion of this episode of Speak Up. We have a piece that I produced last week that I believe was played yesterday, but I thought I would play it again because I think it ties into another segment that I want to play for all of you. And this is my news piece on Burnaby City Hall's recent decision to call for an immediate two-way arms embargo on Israel through the mayor writing a letter to the federal government demanding this. The motion also called for a stronger reunification program for Gazan families, one that is more matched to what has been seen in Canada with those coming from Ukraine due to the war occurring there, and as well as signing the Apartheid Free Cities Pledge. So a lot of decisions were made through the singular motion, and it also makes Burnaby the first of its kind in Canada to actually call for something this serious. It's a pretty big deal, and I wanted to play this piece for all of you because this is something that is still ongoing. It is something that is still an atrocity and something that needs to be addressed at every level of government. So here is that segment. Reporting from Burnaby, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. On August 26th, Burnaby City Council unanimously voted to pass a motion which calls on Burnaby Mayor Mike Hurley to advocate for the federal government of Canada to establish a full two-way arms embargo with Israel and transform the Gaza Temporary Resident Visa Program to support the safe reunification of Gazan Canadian families. Additionally, the motion called for Burnaby to become a signatory of the Apartheid Free Cities Pledge. Burnaby is now the first city in Canada to call for a full and immediate arms embargo on Israel. Before the motion was passed, city councillor and author of the motion, Allison Gu, stressed the importance of this decision by quoting a Palestinian resident of Burnaby, Mohat Sarhan.
We are all watching in horror and pain as Israel continues to carry out war crimes amounting to genocide in Gaza, Palestine. The International Court of Justice, the ICJ, has issued multiple rulings calling for immediate action by all countries to prevent the genocide of Palestinians. The ICJ has advised the world not to assist in maintaining Israel's illegal presence in the occupied Palestinian territory. Unfortunately, a July 2025 report shows that Canada is still arming Israel. Canada has sent almost 500,000 bullets to Israel since October 2023. Meanwhile, Canada's immigration response has been inadequate and racist, especially when compared to Canada's rightful actions for Ukrainian refugees fleeing Russia's invasion. Only a few dozen Gazans have arrived in Canada since 2023, compared to nearly 300,000 Ukrainian arrivals. Amnesty International calls this a heartbreaking failure and saturated with anti-Palestinian racism.
Next to speak was City Councilor Daniel Tatro.
Hearing from many residents in Burnaby, and I'd like to also share a little bit from one resident, Dina, who, like myself, is Jewish and a descendant of Holocaust survivors. And these are their words. I've been horrified to witness the atrocities my grandparents experienced repeat themselves over the past 22 months. I believe that never again applies to everyone, and that never again is now. For peace to take place, justice has to be served first. And the first step towards justice is to call the injustices out, and this is why we are here. Your decision today will pave the path to a city that is not complicit or participating in fueling the apartheid and genocide in Palestine. Your commitment will empower local Palestinians to feel safe in speaking out against the genocide and about the anti-Palestinian erasure and racism that many endure in schools, community programs, workplaces, and in their advocacy efforts.
The council chambers were filled with Burnaby residents awaiting the council's decision. And when the motion passed, the room erupted in cheers. Afterwards, CJSF spoke with some of those in attendance for their initial reactions to the city's pledge, including Burnaby resident Mohad Sarhan, who had been quoted earlier.
It's a small step in the right direction. It's nice to see council recognize the suffering of its own residents, such as myself. I'm Palestinian. Like I said, small step, but I feel like this might ignite a spark if other cities do the same. Eventually, the federal government has to listen to us and give us what we want. So, yeah.
We also spoke with Harsha Walia, a local activist and Burnaby member of a campaign calling for Canadian arms embargo with Israel.
Yeah, so City Council unanimously voted in favor of the motion for Palestine, which as Burnaby residents we're really hopeful about and grateful for, and hope that every other level of government will follow suit and doing what Burnaby did, which was to call for a full and immediate arms embargo on Israel, call for the immediate transformation of the Gaza reunification program so that Gazan Canadian families who have family members trapped in Gaza can evacuate their families, and also for the city of Burnaby to become apartheid free, which means to break all ties with the settler Israeli regime, break with apartheid. Burnaby is going to have no city contracts with Israel. And this is incredibly important because, you know, we are watching every day the horrors of genocide in Gaza. And we know that every level of a government absolutely must refuse this complicity. This motion is absolute proof that every level of government, including cities, including provinces, if they wanted to, could absolutely take a stand, break the consensus, break the imperialist consensus, and absolutely say that there should be no arming of Israel, there should be sanctions on Israel, and that Israel should absolutely be isolated and sanctioned, and there should be charges on Israel for this genocide. Great job, Burnaby!
This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca. We are back with Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. I decided to play that piece for a second time because this ties in to another news segment, which you can find on Frequency News, about Concordia students who are currently stuck in Gaza, speaking on their delays regarding the visa process in Canada. Over 70 Palestinian students are waiting currently to attend university in Canada. Six of those students hope to attend Concordia this academic year in Montreal, Quebec. And this is a segment from Adam Innes in Montreal from CJLO Radio on this matter.
You're listening to CJLO News. As the academic year begins in Canada and students are back in the classroom, over 70 Palestinian students are stuck in the Gaza Strip, waiting for the final approval of their study permits and student visas to come here to Canada. Six of these students stuck in Gaza are expecting to attend Concordia. Many students have been waiting for 6 to 8 months to hear back from Immigration, Refugees and Citizenship Canada, the IRCC, regarding their student permits. Some have started to lose offers as a result of not getting these permits. Two students, slated to come to the University of Waterloo this fall, were killed. The Palestinian Students and Scholars at Risk Network, the PSSAR, is a group that works to help Palestinian academics safely continue or begin their studies. We spoke to the chair of the board of the PSSAR, Dr. Ayman Oida.
You know, if we compare the situation to what happened in Ukraine and what continues to happen, Canada and many Western allies have shown a considerable amount of leadership when it comes to helping students who have been affected. And so I'll tell you, clear examples that I've seen, which is that funding agencies came up, Canadian funding agencies came up with dedicated programs, pumped money into dedicated programs to attract Ukrainian students to come here and complete their studies. We haven't seen that level of leadership at all. Nothing compares to that level of leadership when it comes to the situation in Gaza.
Despite limited internet and electricity access in Gaza due to Israel's blockade and bombardment of infrastructure, two accepted Concordia students currently living in Gaza were able to connect with CJLO News. From the Gaza Strip, this is the voice of Fatoum.
My biggest dream is to continue my studies and turn that knowledge into a meaningful purpose, not just for myself, but also for my community and my country.
Fatoum was accepted by Concordia to pursue a PhD in software engineering back in February, but has heard very little about her student permit.
As war continues, we suffer more in terms of safety. Getting our essential resources like drinking water, food, and also the closure of borders would not allow us to leave and continue our studies in Canada.
Another student, Ahmed, was accepted to Concordia for a master's program in information systems and has applied for a student permit. He has also been in limbo, waiting for a response from the IRCC. From Gaza, here's Ahmed.
I was accepted in November 2024. And this was a big achievement for me because I managed it while I living in a war zone, as you know. And with the very limited internet and electricity. Even if I'm living in a war zone and can't contribute in any meaningful thing right now in my situation, but I still have hope, still have a dream to achieve. I don't just sit down and let it go.
Representatives from Immigration, Refugees and Citizenship Canada, the IRCC, would not provide an interview, but pointed to a statement explaining that each individual case is being processed but is, quote, complex. With the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Adam Innes with CJLO News.
Thank you to Adam Innes from CJLO News for that piece. And one that I think, again, really exemplifies the importance of pressure, political pressure, applying that from not just the federal level, but the municipal and provincial in regards to these issues. You know, one thing I heard from a lot of people when I spoke to some of the attendees at Burnaby City Hall during that council meeting was that they hope this kind of serves, the decision that Burnaby made serves as sort of a ripple effect for other municipalities to follow suit and to apply that same level of pressure to the federal government, and hopefully that bears fruit. So that being said, I am going to, before getting into some more news this hour here at Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM, I thought I would play another track from another local Vancouver group, the Brad Turner Trio Plus One. This track is titled All Ocean Views. Let's see if we can keep playing some water-themed or based or coded tracks for the hour. Thank you.
is bird note. With silver, gold, and copper-toned plumage, gambel's quail have every reason to strut their stuff on the trails of the Sonoran Desert. But their fancy headdress would fit right in at the Met Gala. Both males and females look like they've got a large, inky black comma poised atop the crown of their heads. Their grassland relatives, the California quail, have them too. For both species, this decorative topknot is formed from six individual feathers that contour together into a single structure that appears to bounce lightly with each step. And these are hardly the only quail with a fancy updo. In the Sierra Nevada and Cascade Mountains, the mountain quail displays two long and wispy black head plumes that stick straight up when the bird is alert. In the deserts of northwestern Mexico, the elegant quail sports a shock of coppery feathers like a fire atop the bird's head. Scaled quail, named for the almost reptilian pattern of their breast feathers, don't have a topknot per se, but they do have a modest crest with a flash of white, earning them the nickname Cotton Tops. It's hard to say why each of these species evolved such elaborate head feathers. Perhaps they help quail attract a mate and intimidate other suitors. But whatever the intended purpose, these birds are ready for even the fanciest functions.